the character of the one to whom we pray. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 45. We've already gone over these verses in our memory time there in the midst of the song service, but notice here once again verse number 18. Verse number 18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain." In other words, he didn't create it purposeless. He created it with purpose. He formed it to be inhabited. It's no accident that Earth is this wonderful planet with these extraordinary features that support life. No, God made it that way. This was no Big Bang. I don't know. There might have been some sounds when God spoke it into existence. But my friend, it was no happenstance. It was the plan of God. The power of God spoke these things into existence. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's true. That's absolutely true. And notice verse 19. I have not spoken in secret. God says, I'm not hiding myself. I haven't tried to conceal truth. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob. So now he focuses on his communication with the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And he says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. He did not create this earth without purpose. He had great purpose in creating the earth. And he also says, I didn't tell you to seek me pointlessly. I did not instruct you to seek me pointlessly. In other words, can I say it in different ways? It's productive to seek God. It is productive to seek God. I suppose that would be some of what's communicated in our key verse from James 5 and the last part of verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes a lot. It accomplishes great things. It availeth much. Prayer. Far too often we discount prayer, and not intentionally, but by neglect. Prayer becomes our last resort instead of our first. You know, it's a blessing to know that the one we are coming to, the one we are calling out to in prayer, is one who is, first of all, attentive and understanding. We looked at this last week, how God is attentive and understanding to prayer. He wants to hear our prayers. And so praise God for his attentiveness to prayer. We can come to him and know that he will hear us. I think of Psalm 65, verse 2. It says, O thou that hearest prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. It's a miracle that you can call out to God and he will hear you. He will hear you. We could go to countless scriptures. Of course, we did some last week, but you know, it's worth it to call out to God, because the Almighty, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the one who formed this planet with purpose, hears and understands your need. We talked last week how many languages of the world, people all over the world, call out to God. God understands every one of their languages, every one of their pleas. God understands it all, even the silent cries of our heart. God hears silent prayer. Yes, he does. He hears prayer. He understands our predicaments. Yes, let's move on. We can also see the character of the one to whom we pray is not only attentive and understanding, but our God, the one who hears our prayer, is loving and kind. He's loving and kind. Oh, my friend, God does love you. God does love you. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed away from Him. It doesn't matter the failures we may have, for we all have them. God loves you. When you were a sinner bound and in the pits of your sin, He gave His precious Son for you. And that didn't stop there, for He continues to love and care for those who've received His love at Calvary. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is good, and God is lovingly for you. He has your best interest in mind. He is not seeking to take advantage of you. He is not seeking to lure you into something so that He can then hurt you or do something harmful to you. He loves you. Now, that does not mean that if you become a Christian and follow the Lord Jesus, that all of a sudden you're going to just have this wonderful, smooth road. No. No, God knows what trials will come. And some of them, God brings things into our life with purpose. We live in a fallen and sinful world, and God's will is not to remove us the moment we get saved. He has a place that is perfect and sinless prepared for us. But at this time, we are living in this world. God is giving His grace for our trials, and we are growing to trust Him more. And that's the way God would have it. He is good, He is loving, and He is kind. And so, consider, if you will, I'd like to go to Romans chapter 8 and read one verse. Romans 8, we got to keep moving along. But I'd like to share this verse with you, Romans 8, verse number 18. Romans 8 and verse number 18. Consider what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time..." Do you think the Apostle Paul knew what sufferings were? Yes, he did. "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." You know what the glory is? That's splendor. That's many manifold excellencies. "With the glory that shall be revealed." It's not yet revealed. "It shall be revealed" where? "In us." In us. "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the manifold splendor that will be revealed in us." I'll tell you what, God has good things planned, wonderful things planned. Praise the Lord, we have a good God. Now, when we think about prayer, it's a blessing that you can call out, you can talk to the one who loves you, the one who's has an ear to hear and understand your need, and the one who has your best interest at His heart. Number three, as we enter into some new territory, but these are truths about God that I don't think are unfamiliar, but I want you to think about them in the context of prayer. The context of prayer, the character of the one to whom we pray. Look at this. God is righteous and just. He's righteous and just. When we call out to God, we're calling out to one who will handle the situations correctly. Have you ever made a mistake? How many people are here in this sanctuary who would raise their hand and be honest and say, you know what, I have made a few mistakes in my life. Hey, anybody? Anybody? Oh, I see a couple of hands. I thought it would be the majority here. I'll tell you what, friend, listen carefully. God has never made a mistake. He's never made a mistake. Now, I know that he created the world and man sinned and it grieved him. Yes, it did. But he didn't make a mistake. His plan was perfect. You see, God wants you to have real freedom. I think our founding fathers understood a good bit of the character of God and the design of God, and they believed that a free society governed by laws and by this engagement and the Constitution and Bill of Rights and all these things are given to us by God. And friend, we ought to pray for our country. We ought to stand for liberty and freedom. But I'll tell you what, God wanted man not to be a mere robot, not to be a forced love. Oh, you will love your creator. No. No, he made you a free agent. There's limits. There's parameters, obviously, that God sovereignly set. But yet, he gave us a major measure of individual autonomy, individual liberty. And of course, man sinned, and sin is an ingrained problem in our world. And God provided the answer for everyone who wants it. God provided salvation. Oh, my friend, he is a just God and a Savior. Back there in our Isaiah 45 passage, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but you remember those words. We talked about some of the names there a little bit in the memorizing time there. But, you know, our God, he is a just God and he is a Savior. God's plan before the world was even made was to send Jesus, the Savior. Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus' name means. Jehovah is salvation. Praise God. We can be saved, yes. But you know what? As a child of God, when I pray, I can know for sure that God will handle the situations that I give to him. Lord, I need wisdom. God will guide as we trust him. I can trust God will handle this. I have been wronged. God, you said love your enemies. I'm going to trust you with this. My flesh wants to have malice and get even. But you said do good to those who hurt you. I'm giving this to you. You see, I can trust that God is righteous and he is just. I don't have to try to even the score. I don't have to try to keep an account of others' offenses against me. Hey, God said, 1 Peter, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, I think I'm actually thinking of Romans 12. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Well, that's a backwards way of thinking. Well, it sure is if you're the one in charge. But when you've got a righteous and holy God in heaven who sees and knows everything and who's never made a mistake and who says, if someone hurts you, you just rest that in my hands. You're my child. I love you. I will take care of you. You see, God is righteous and just. God will do what is right. Last week we looked at the unjust judge in Luke 18, a parable that Jesus told. Luke 18, maybe I'll have you turn there. Luke 18. Now Jesus tells this story as a plausible situation that could happen. And here's a crooked judge. He's a judge who doesn't care about people. He's hard-hearted. And verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And this woman in verse 3, this widow woman, she's helpless and someone is doing her wrong, and she pleads with the judge to defend her, pleads with the judge to do justice to her case. Avenge me of mine adversary, she asks. And the judge blows her off. This woman, she doesn't have anything to pay. Don't you understand lawyers charge a lot of money? This woman, she don't have nothing. Nothing I want. So the judge blew her off. He stopped answering calls. He tried to avoid her. Didn't open her emails. But you know what? When she started stopping by the office, hanging around on lunch break, he said, all right, what do you need? I'll do it gratis work. Right? And he helped her. And God says this, verse 6. Well, I'll back up to verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I am going to do justice by her case, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust, this crooked, uncaring judge is saying. Verse 7. And shall not God, this is a contrast, a very deep contrast, shall not God do justice, avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You see, prayer many times is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a, God, I need this. Lord, I need, ooh, wow. Lord, I need this. No, no. Sometimes God answers right away. Yes, indeed. But sometimes, like he says here, sometimes he bears long with us. This woman was persistent, and this is what God was getting at. The woman was persistent. She kept on knocking. She kept on asking. She kept on trusting. And we also need to keep praying. Keep praying. God cares about you. And so I want you to understand that he is righteous and he is just and his timing is perfect. When we commit situations to him, he will handle them in his good time. He will handle them on time. Look at what it says in verse 8. I tell you that he, speaking of our good God, that he will avenge them. Who's that? That's us, his children, the saved. He will avenge them speedily. Right on time. Right on time. He won't be late. Not by a single millisecond. And that's, of course, according to God's all-wise timekeeping schedule. You can trust him. You see, my friend, it won't always be according to your schedule. Sometimes things get worse. As we talked about in the matter about prayer being spiritual warfare, sometimes things get worse when you start praying. Sometimes things get worse in your life when you start seeking to read your Bible and living for Jesus. Yes, sometimes things get harder. Press on. Continue to grow and trust God. Because he is good. He's righteous and he is just. Psalm 119 verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. The situations we give to the Lord, he will handle rightly. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's a great, great psalm here, one that would be a good one to memorize, or at least portions of it. Psalm 37. I'd like right now to look at verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, notice what it says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, you can delight in God. Rejoice in your good Lord God. You can commit the situations of your life to him. That's what it says here in verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Prayer is a wonderful way that we commit things to God. What does it mean to commit? Well, the Hebrew idiom, perhaps it would be called, means to roll it over onto him. Roll it over. Lord, here you go. This is yours. I'm giving this to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be passive in your Christian life and just, you know, oh, I gave it to God. No, yes, you need to respond then. How does he want you to handle it? How does he want you to work through it? You need to respond with obedience. Remember, the Christian life is being yoked with Jesus. My burden is light, he said. You'll find rest when you're yoked with me. Together we'll pull. And so here, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm trusting you with this. I'm trusting what? I'm trusting that you're good. I'm trusting that you will handle this rightly. You can trust him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, Psalm 55, verse 22 says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, that Jesus had many things done wrong to him. But the Bible tells us that Jesus committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus committed himself to his heavenly Father. And that's the same Father you have. Isn't that cool? Jesus came to this earth, God Almighty, and he lived in the same way, the same power that we can live. He used prayer. He committed things to his Father, and you and I must as well. Try it. Try praying about those burdens. You know, Philippians 4, I think it's verse 6, says, be careful for nothing. And essentially, pray about everything, right? And God will give you peace. Praise God. We can trust him. Look at the beginning of Psalm 37. You have it there. Look at the first word. What is it? Fret. But it says fret not. Fret is to worry. And the Bible says, worry not. Worry not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious, jealous against the workers of iniquity. Boy, we look around our world today. There's a lot of things that could cause us to fret. Evil has just seemed to triumph. And you know, evil just is rampant in our land, in our world. In our country, we see the very fabric of our country crumbling apart. Fret not. Fret not because of evildoers. Look at verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. God's going to take care of them. Oh, friend, the devil is still roaming around like a roaring lion. Oh, yes. But God is going to take care of him. The day is coming. The victory essentially is already won. There's just a few battles yet to take place. But the victory's won. God is in his perfect time, working all things together for good. God is still rescuing wicked people from the pits of their sin. He's so merciful. He holds off in judgment, patiently waiting, giving people more time to turn and repent and be saved. So what are we to do? Verse 3, trust in the Lord. And do what? What's the next three words? And do good. Well, that's pretty simple. Trust in the Lord and do good. I have a good Father in heaven who cares for me. He's righteous and just. I can trust him with the injustices I've been served in my life. I can rest all these troubling things in his hand. All these hurtful things, I can trust him. So, the character of the one to whom we pray. Consider also, lastly, that God, our Heavenly Father, is wise and trustworthy. Now, I know there's some similarities here to what we've just been talking about, but you know, let me say it this way. God knows what you really need. God knows what you really need. You know, it's probably good that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer the way we asked. I mean, consider this. If you give your children everything they ask for, I'm guessing they'll be as spoiled, rotten, you know. Right? You as a parent have to be the adult in the room, right? You have to make wise choices for your children. And sometimes they aren't happy with some of the choices you make, but lovingly, kindly, you need to say, hey, but you want to bless them. I mean, that a clear, a loving, kind parent, absolutely. And that's our God. Yes, he wants to bless us. Yes, he wants to work, but he's wise. And he knows what we need. He knows what we need. Consider this. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He says, I know where I'm taking you. I know where I'm taking you. And that Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is in the context of the people of Israel who were living sinfully and disobedient to God. And God was bringing judgment, the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, where the people would be dispersed throughout the rest of the nations. And God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know what I'm doing. I know the things that I am planning for you, and they are good. And so we can trust our wise and trustworthy Heavenly Father. Consider the words of Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then being evil, Jesus said, he's talking to a group of sinners, right, like us. And he says, if you fathers out there, and you're a sinner, you fathers out there, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We again see the importance of prayer. And we see the goodness of God and the wisdom of God. God knows how to give good gifts. God knows what we need. You know, there's an old idiom, slogan, I guess it would be said, of the Allstate Insurance Company. You're in good hands with Allstate, right? You've heard it. I'll tell you what. I don't know about that insurance company, but I know about the Heavenly Father. You're in good hands. He's a wise and trustworthy Father. Yes. Oh, yes. You can trust his heart. the heart of your good and loving Heavenly Father. He is wise. He is wise. You know, Job didn't understand what was going on in his life. He didn't understand why his 10 children died in a tragic storm in one day. He didn't understand why his ranch was being pilfered and stolen from, and he's lost everything. Job had been serving God. He didn't understand why it seemed like God was against him. But you know what he said? In Job 23 and verse 10, he said, "But he," speaking of God, "but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job said, "Though he kills me, I will trust him." You know what? Job was used of God in a mighty way. Not only did Job prove the devil wrong, but Job became an even more blessed man after going through the trials he went through. And you know what? I believe that when we ask Job in heaven, we say, "Hey, Job, how was it for you? How was it for you? Was it worth it? What God brought you through?" Job would maybe say, probably say something like this, you know, "Man, it was hard. Man, it was hard. There were some deep valleys. Sometimes I wasn't even sure. It seemed like God maybe was my enemy. But I continued to trust him, and he was faithful. And the relationship I had after that was all the richer because I was that much closer to my good and loving Father. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The character of the one to whom we pray. We must understand he's wise and trustworthy. Let's trust him. He really knows what we need. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Oh, and we can trust him. So let's consider very rapidly, just looking at all these points. Our God is attentive and understanding. He hears prayer. He's willing and able to help. Our God is loving and kind. He's good. And he is for you. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. God is righteous and just. God will handle rightly the situations we give him. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. God is wise and trustworthy. He knows what we really need. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Let's go on trusting God. Let's go on praying more to this one who cares so much for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do in our lives and the work you do through prayer. Help each one of us, the youth gathered here, the adults gathered here, each of us, help us to grow in prayer, to pray more and to trust you, having your character in mind. Oh, Father, thank you for this. Lord, I pray if there's anybody who does not know Jesus as their Savior, that today they might trust him to save them from their sin. That they would cast themselves upon Jesus for that salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.